Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
Guten Tag, Cephalon Collective, and welcome to episode 93 of Cephalon Squared. I'm your host, Cephalon Greg, and I'm joined by Cephalon Lucas. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm a bit weird and sweaty, and it's not even that hot. Speaking of which, that's a good segue into... Weather rambles. How's the weather treating you?
Weird as always, because, you know, Ipswich, weird weather. So currently it is 20 degrees Celsius with a 68% humidity. It's kind of comfortable now, but yesterday we hit up to like 33 or something. It's all over the place.
It is a bit. It's pretty, and that's 68 degrees Fahrenheit for you Americans that don't understand 20 degrees. down here in Melbourne town, it's very similar. It's 19 degrees Celsius. That's 66 degrees Fahrenheit and about 62% humidity. But sitting here locked away in my little podcast recording room, it's hot and stuffy and feels gross. I don't know why. I had the windows open. Just don't get it. Yeah, during the day, you know, get the stuffiness out of the house. I don't know. It didn't work, obviously. Whatever it was, it didn't work, and it was lame and poopy, and it can go away because I'm sweating more than I should. Or maybe I'm still sick from last week. God,
hope not. That's not good.
That was a pretty crappy week. But anyway, during this crappy week, what did you get up to, Warframe and beyond?
Well, Warframe's been a little bit pushed aside a little bit. What I have done in Warframe is I've revisited a few of my old favorite frames, looking at you, Chroma, and decided to replay with a few setups on old Dragonface himself, having a bit of fun with him. And apart from that, Warframe's, yeah, pretty much on the back burner at the moment. But I have been playing. I decided to reinstall an old game that I picked up a few years back on Steam called Endless Legend. Now, if you're into those kind of civilization games, this one is awesome with a fantasy flair thrown in and some chess-style turn-based combat. So it's pretty cool. You know, build up your empire, take over the world. Yeah, pretty standard stuff.
Nice. I remember when I was young, I used to play this game called Battle Chess. So cool.
Nice.
When you actually take over the enemy piece,
yeah,
they have a little fight and they cut their arms off and stuff. It was so cool. I was only like 10 or something back then. I used to love that game. Anyway, nostalgia time is over. I also have been playing something that I haven't played for a while. Just the other day, for some reason, I decided to load up Paladins, and it got me addicted for an entire night. I just played Paladins by myself for 2 or 3 hours, and I loved every second of it. So I've been playing a little bit of Paladins here and there recently on PS4. It's been fun.
Nice.
Yeah, but not terribly much Warframe, and you know, I've talked about it in recent episodes about how it's been hard for me to juggle between PC and PS4. And it's a real pain in the ass because I want to get back into things. And I think actually having that chat with Dylan last week made me realize that, you know what, maybe I should go back to just grinding MR. That'll give me something to do. Then I don't have to worry, because I think one of the things that pisses me off is I get back into the game and I'm like, you know what, I still haven't finished the quills. I still haven't really learned how to take down the Prophet Taker well, where I could be, you know, where I could actually teach other people.
Has anyone?
I can do that with Exploiter. I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that have. You know, there's lots of things in the game that I haven't done, and I really don't know where I want to go in that direction. But if I just pull back and go, you know what, I'm going to get to freaking MR26 by July or something like that, you know, that's achievable. I could probably even get to 28 or 29 by July if I really put my time into it, but I don't think I will be. But yeah, so thanks, Dylan. You gave me some inspiration. Not that I started it. But that would have to happen on PS4 because it's just not happening on Xbox. What's the other one? PC.
PC.
That's the one. It's not happening on Xbox Fair either. Enough.
Best Switch. Is it happening on Switch?
Definitely not. Nope. Two accounts is more than enough. Yeah. Anyway, this episode this week is going to be a pretty chunky one.
Ooh, yeah.
There's a lot of news. There's a lot of dev stream to talk about. They went over a hell of a lot in this week's dev stream. So there's just way too much to talk about, which means we will be foregoing beginner and advanced topics. Otherwise, this would be a 2-hour episode.
May still end up being so.
Yeah, there is really so much to talk about. So let's crack on into it. Head on into the news.
Yes, yes. And to start off with, we're going to do a quick apology because we didn't do this last week because we can be idiots sometimes. But there are four new augments that have been released into Warframe. So we have, first off, Spellbound Harvest, which is a spellbind augment for Titania. And this is hitting at least four enemies with a spellbind will grant Titania 50 energy. Very nice and very handy. Greg, do you want to cover the next one?
I absolutely do. This one is for Harrow, and it's called Tribunal. It is a condemn augment. Other players will proc 50% of the effects of Penance and Thurible when attacking chained enemies. Now, that's fantastic. It makes Harrow less...
Greedy. It's very, very nice. Next one, Catapult, which is the first augment for Grendel. It is the Pulverize augment, and by pushing Alt Fire, you can launch Grendel in the direction you are aiming while he is in meatball mode, and it costs 10 energy to do so.
And? You've used it, awesome. Haven't you?
I have. Yeah. It's super fun. Just go bowling with the Grineer. Grineer are the pins.
Fair enough. And lastly, there is a new one for Hildren. This is called Blazing Pillage. It's a pillage augment, obviously. Enemies affected by Haven will be set ablaze for 200 heat damage and restore 50 additional shields to Hildren. That is fan-frickin-tastic, and I will absolutely be sticking that on my Hildren as soon as I get it.
Nice. So there you go. We missed them last week, and we picked them up this week and told you about them. So, ta-da!
Indeed. Enjoy them, please.
Yes.
Yes. All right, where are we? And we all know about all this, and we know we're going to talk about it in the dev stream, so I'll touch on it quickly. Nightwave Intermission ends next week on May 3rd. I think May 3rd is the Sunday, so therefore we expect Season 3 to start on Monday. Yay!
Yay! Well, that will actually be Tuesday that it starts for us in Aussie Town.
Oh, of course.
Yes, this is true. But it's happening. It's finally ending. The nightmare. Okay. There was a key lottery for the test cluster. It has now ended, but keep an eye out for another round in future. Not confirmed, but I expect it will be open again, and there's more about that later.
Indeed. And that really is all of the news. I know I said there's a lot of news, but that's because I thought talking about the augments would actually take longer. But we are so damned efficient. Efficient Cephalon.
Efficient Cephalon. Cephalon efficiency.
Hell yeah. All right, so smashing right on into our discussion. This is, of course, the second home dev stream. I think it's like dev stream 142, but who's counting now? No one is counting. That's who. Yeah. So, do you want to kick it off, Lucas? Yes. You know you do.
Yes, indeed. So, starting off with, they decided to drop a special little video from the extended work from home team. It was pretty nice to hear from many of the team and, you know, all the stuff that they're working on, and it was nice.
Yeah, and it would have been pretty special for some of those members of the team as well, people from the localization team and things like that, that probably don't get a chance to actually say, hey, I work on Warframe too, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked it.
It was good.
Yeah. We'll share the video in the show notes if you haven't seen it. It's pretty easy to find anyway.
Yes.
All right, as Lucas mentioned in the news, the semi-public test cluster has gone live as of the day that we're recording, which is Saturday. Actually, it was Friday in
Canada Town,
the land of Canada, where all the Canadians are from, in Canada. It has gone live, and Lucas has told me that Trigon from our Discord managed to get in to the test cluster. So, congrats to Trigon.
Yay! Congrats, Trigon!
Yeah, and don't worry about that little NDA thing.
No.
We'll give you an NDA too. All is good. All is good. I'm sure he'll be a good boy. But yeah, that's fantastic. Awesome. I do expect that they'll probably open it up again in the future, although they haven't said they've got any plans to. They will.
Yes.
They'll have to. They need to expand.
Yes, yes. So next up, Deadlock Protocol is now coming in May. It was supposed to come out in April, but damn, COVID-19 has pushed it back. Unfortunate, but it's to be expected. So that's still in the works. It's still on its way, and more about that later.
A hell of a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, next up is a big chunk. A big, big chunk. Warframe Revised. They called it Warframe Revised Part 4. But I don't know where all the other revisions were. I remember one. This one is primarily Railjack Revisited. That is coming shortly to the test cluster, which means it can't be too far away from going live as well. Now, there are a bunch of patch notes, and I think really, because this is a pretty big bunch of fixes, I think we should actually give them a little bit of time, Lucas. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out one section, you read out another section, next section, blah, blah, blah. We'll just read them out quickly, and then we'll talk about what we think are the most important.
Are we going to do avionics as well, or just think, nah?
Not the avionics at the end.
That
works. All right, so starting off with the general changes. They are doubling the Railjack's innate vacuum range, which is great, changing the pacing and feel of Railjack piloting and movement to be less reliant on single strafe boost than repeat. So they're doubling the base speed. They're lowering the boost speed by 75%, which is pretty massive. They're increasing the boost speed cost of dodging, and they're increasing the boost drain from 8 to 15. They've also made scale a factor in damage reduction and bonuses, which means Arcwings and their weapons do more damage to ships while also taking less damage from them, which is pretty cool. Fixed inconsistencies with the sensitivities of the emplacement positions. Jeez, I managed to get that one out. Side turrets now match the pilot turret, so that is pretty cool. Doubled Reaver Light crafting yield from 50 to 100. Thank crikey. Although with other changes, I'm not sure it's necessary. They've tripled the values of titanium and asterite. How do I get that other crazy sentence out and I can't say asterite? Resource drops. So I think the big thing there is the change to the Railjack piloting. Doubling the base speed is massive. Thank you. Lowering the boost speed by 75% equally massive.
That kind of hurts a little bit. But I guess we'll have to wait and see to how that actually plays into things.
Well, I guess if they're doubling the speed, then they have to reduce the boost speed, because otherwise you'd be going ludicrous speed.
Yeah.
Or plaid.
Yeah.
At least plaid.
Yeah, but I like ludicrous plaid speeds.
Yeah.
All
right. So we'll see how it is. It's all in the interest of more fun, I guess.
Yeah. Anyways, next up, ship combat changes. Changed all health, shield, and armor to use the new Tenno versions introduced in Warframe Revised. So that's cool. Halve the health and armor of all Grineer fighters. Randomize the amount of fighters required to be killed during the extermination portions of the skirmish missions, so it's not always the same. Decrease the amount of time between landing the killing shot to the enemy explosion on fighters from 0.1 second to 1 second down from 1 to 3 seconds. The effect of this will not only be a quicker pace, but also a quicker time to spawn any drops. Also decreased the Railjack shield recharge delay from 5 to 3 seconds. Railjack weapon heat build-up changes. Apoc, Sigma, Levan, and Vidar heat build-up reduced from 20 to 12. Zekti from 40 to 20. Karsnok, Sigma, Levan, and Vidar heat build-up reduced from 10 to 8. And the Zekti from 20 to 12. One of the Cryophon, Zekti from 400 to 350. And the Fotor, Sigma, Lavan, and Vidar heat buildup reduced from 10 to 8, Zekti from 20 to 12. Blah.
They're all good changes, I think.
Yeah.
Personally.
So, yeah, I mean,
less overheating, improved time to kill.
Those Zektis actually get a massive overheat drop.
Yeah, they do. They needed them, though. Freaking overheated every time you pointed them at someone. Let alone fired the damn thing.
You put your hand on the trigger and it's whoop.
Yeah, it's done. Halving the health and armor of Grineer fighters, I think, is probably overkill, personally.
Yeah.
With all these other changes, I'm not sure that was necessary, but we'll see how it feels when we're playing. But
If they're adding in the changes of health, shield, and armor into this new now, I guess that does also kind of give those Grineer fighters damage gating.
True. That's a good point. So maybe it does help. We'll see.
We shall see.
All right. The next section is on foot combat changes. Reduce the health of all on foot Grineer Railjack enemies by half. Removed scaled damage controllers from all on foot Grineer Railjack enemies. So basically, when you get boarded by the Grineer, it's not going to take you 50 years to kill them. Of course, if you are an advanced player, the boarding parties aren't that hard to kill. But if you're even mid-game, the boarding parties can be troublesome.
Yeah.
Because I'm mid-game on PC and they are a pain in the ass and I can't easily kill them.
Yeah.
PS4, not such a problem, but I think this is good. I think I like it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't... Depends on how big of a change. Like, okay, it's half the change, half the health on them. I think that may be a bit too much. But again, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, might be.
Next up, pacing changes. Added caps for the amount of simultaneous railjack hazards, fire, electric, and breaches. Your railjack can only have one of each hazard at a time. So that is a massive change and very much needed. Drastically decrease the frequency of railjack hazard types. Made each railjack hazard type more harmful to the ship, so they've amped up that difficulty. Increase the amount of Omni-Revelite required to remove hazard events, but increase the experience gained. They've also increased the number of fighters in all alert stages. Enemies now spawn much closer to the railjack versus 1,000 kilometers plus away. And destroying all engines on a cruise ship now disables weapons. That last change there is very much welcome and actually gives reason to destroy enemy cruise ship engines.
Yeah, bloody oath. Bloody oath. Actually, all of those changes are good, in my opinion. I have seen people complaining about them in Reddit and Facebook. I've seen people saying that reducing the amount of simultaneous railjack hazards so that there's only one of each hazard active at any time, considering you have the avionic that allows you to get rid of up to 8 in one go. Yeah, okay, I agree. It actually makes that avionic kind of useless now. But at the same time, I never used it anyway.
Neither.
And I mean, maybe that's my problem. I often found myself getting friggin' overwhelmed by hazards, especially in the Vale, when you're too busy concentrating on doing other things and suddenly you've got 10 things that you need to go fix. It's not a problem. We always got around to fix them all, but it's just suddenly you're overwhelmed by things. And I think what they're doing is they're trying to juggle the game actually being enjoyable versus it being a chore.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good change because I found getting rid of hazards was a chore, personally.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not on the guns, if you're not piloting, then you're pretty much running around putting out fires and whatnot. And once you get started in doing that, you kind of get stuck in doing that, and then there's no reprieve to get yourself out of that chore. You're stuck in it. As long as you're in that crew, that's your job.
Yeah, because you really need someone off the ship doing cruise ship stuff. You need two people on the guns and one person piloting.
Yeah.
You don't want to have one person on the guns and one person putting out fires, which is arguably what you have most of the time.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think this is a massive change and really changes the way that the game plays, but I think it's a better change personally. I like hazards, but it's too much.
Yeah. But if we quickly look back at one of the changes you said before, mentioning that the Revelite will actually be, you'll be able to get 100 instead of 50 whenever you make Revelite now. Throwing that in with the increased usage of the Revelite to remove a hazard, actually kind of...
It makes sense.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nicely balancing. They're really trying to balance it out, so that's good.
Well, it depends on what the numbers are, I guess.
Well, yeah.
All right, moving on. Arcwing changes and fixes. So, yes, there are Arcwing changes coming, but this does not yet include the modular changes, so keep that in mind. There are long-standing issues with the usability of Arcwing Melee have been fixed. It's now Whacking Day, so let us know. Haha, Whacking Day reference. Good for DE. Arcwing Melee range mods now affect aim assist lock-on range. Yay! Arcwing gun stacks are normalized. Stats, that is. Are normalized. Space combat now uses ground heavy weapon stats. Fantastic. And the UI lead indicator has been added to relevant Arcwing guns. So now, when you're shooting at ships that are flying, you can see where to shoot to hit them from a distance.
Nice. That is good. I like that.
So I think those changes will be good, but until more of the changes come in along with the modular stuff, it's still pretty much business as usual for Arcwing by the looks of things.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the melee changes for Arcwing.
Yeah. I love melee and never used it much on Arcwing
because it's kind of crap. Yeah. Well, hopefully that also crosses over into Titania's setup as well.
Exactly.
Next up, systemic changes. The Kuva Lich Valance transfer has been added for built armaments and components. Players can now transfer progress and stats to the new better parts, boosting them. It requires Dirac to perform the operation. Combining matching tiers gives a 10% boost in stats. Combining lower tier gives 5% boost in stats, and two tiers removed, Mark 3 with Mark 1, is 2% boost. Cool, we've got Valance transfer on Railjack pieces now.
Yeah, I think that's also a good thing. Yes, it does sort of piss off those hardcore players who really work their ass off to get something that was already fantastic, and now it's much easier to do. But you know what? It should have been much easier to do in the first place, and this change was required. So sorry that you had to go through that.
Sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
I'm kind of sorry. I'm not. But it wasn't my fault. So
this is honestly a good change, in my opinion, because with the amount of Dirac we receive in any Railjack mission, now you'll actually have something to spend your Dirac on.
It's a fantastic change.
It is a fantastic
change. I'm not disagreeing. Yeah. But there's going to be pissed off people who put in their time. But
now they can make their stuff better.
Yeah, and it was a choice. They made that choice knowing what they were getting into and knowing that it could potentially be improved or removed at any point in time. So
yeah,
it is. That is life. Moving on. Affinity and intrinsic gain changes. This is a good one. Doubled affinity to intrinsic point conversion. You will now gain intrinsics 2 times faster. And they've increased the earned affinity on killing elite fighters and outriders, which is good because those ones are a bit more of a pain in the ass to kill. Earning intrinsics 2 times faster is fantastic. I was going to say it's not overly necessary, but I think it kind of is because people just really want to get to 10.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, that gap between stage 9 and stage 10 is massive.
Massive.
Massive gap. So I think that is definitely much needed, and kudos to DE. Okay, now we've got some avionic changes happening. When it comes to avionic changes, there's an overarching goal, and that is simplify avionic management. So each integrated avionic type will now only exist with a single manufacturer rather than 3 manufacturer flavors. The retired integrated avionics will be removed from players' inventory via a script. The remaining integrated avionic of each type will take on the values of the previously highest valued avionics of its type, so don't worry about losing your big ones. All Dirac used to upgrade integrated avionics will be refunded, and this applies to both retired and remaining avionics. And all remaining integrated avionics will have their upgrades drained, so you can rework them all up to their top tier goodliness.
Wow. That's a pretty massive change.
That's a massive change.
All right. Interesting. So all of those changes are the generic changes. There are more. So they are making changes to specific battle avionics as well. We're not going to go through those because there's far too many.
And specific Arcwing weapons as well.
And yes, and specific Arcwing melee stats as well. So If you're interested, check them out at the on the forums. Look for Dev Workshop Railjack Revisited.
We will have a
you'll get that information.
We'll have a link in the show notes so you can find it there. Yeah, come on. No. It's all right. I wanted to be nice to you guys, but Greg doesn't want to be. It's fine.
yeah, we'll arm wrestle for it. If it's there, you know I lost. all right, so the goals for this is, of course, lower time to kill, faster railjack, improve XP and intrinsic games, double the vacuum, fewer internal issues on the ship with less admin, fantastic, arcwing changes, but no modular arcwings yet. So these are big changes that are coming soon. I think they're all really good changes. I'm looking forward to see how it all goes down.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Cool.
Okay, next, let's jump into some real beef of the dev stream and take a look at Protea. Her idle animation looks really nice. It's kind of fancy and acrobatic, so that's cool.
She does some juggly stuff.
She does some juggly stuff, yes, and some sporty juggly stuff. It's kind of interesting. And she'll have not one, but two alt helmets. So that's going to be something to also look forward to. She's also going to have her own custom dodge animation, and that looks frickin' fantabulous. Why they did not put this on Mirage, I have no idea, because it looks like something Mirage would do, but fine, whatever. Give it to Protea.
Good point. Didn't think of that, but you're right.
Yeah. Just thinking back to the Mirage Prime trailer, there's pretty much like exactly what they showed Mirage doing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Her signature weapon will be a pistol with burst fire. It's pretty cool. So, yeah.
That was
fast.
My example of a pistol with burst fire. A fast burst fire.
It's fast. It's crazy. So, yes. All right. So, how we want to do this, Greg?
Just one bit each again?
One bit each. Cool. And I do want to have a bit of a chat about Protea once we've explained her abilities for the folks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So I'll start with her passive. It's nice and simple. Every fourth ability she activates will give 100%. After every fourth ability active, she has give 100% extra strength to the fifth ability coming in, and that counter will be above the ammo on the bottom right of the screen. It's nice and simple and hefty. Pretty hefty.
Yeah. It's massive, and it does mean that you need to keep an eye on things because you want to use it effectively.
Yes.
Her first ability is a kind of grenade, and if you just throw it out there, it has a freaking fantastic CC/damage effect. So it's got a shrapnel stagger and a slash proc, which is really cool. And it's actually in a fairly wide area. It looked like it was locking down something like 10 enemies in the void, which was pretty cool. It looked pretty widespread, pretty useful. Or if you hold down the button, you get protective grenades that sort of fly around you and provide you with overshields and increased shield charges, and that's pretty cool as well. So that's a relatively useful first ability.
Yeah, now the interesting thing about the protective grenades is that you don't actually get the protection straight away. You drop them on the floor to be picked up.
To be picked up, yeah. So yeah, maybe you can share them with other...
Yeah, maybe your allies might be able to pick them up as well and benefit from those dropped grenades. So that's pretty freaking cool. Her next ability is her turret, and this fires off four...
It looked like four. That was
maybe
my
more
it
shots.
Like four. Might have been more.
Yeah, it looked like more. I think it might be more duration-based than anything. It is pretty powerful. Each hit increases its damage output, so it has scaling damage, and it's awesome. It's probably the one ability I'm really looking forward to to Protea, so that will be awesome.
Pretty powerful, I gotta admit. Next, there was a dispenser, and it drops one of each pickup. At least that's what Pablo said when he was showing it off. But when he says one of each pickup, does that mean one of each ammo type? I don't think so.
I think it kind of drops like the Omni
ammo. It
looked
like it dropped an Omni, but I thought the Omni ammo was white. Yeah. We talked about ammo last week. It was my section. Yeah. I can't remember. Yes, I think it drops Omni. I'm not sure. What it dropped in the video were orange ones, and they are pistol ammo. So maybe it drops only the ammo of the weapon you're holding, or maybe it just has to be tweaked still. But what he did mention is that the health that drops will be a slightly augmented. It'll give you 100 health instead of just 50, which the normal ones do. But it sounds like the energy will just give you 25 per the normal energy. Might give you 50 as per the ones that come out of lockers and things. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, it actually dropped more than one energy orb, but that could have been because of the passive.
True.
So, yeah. Interesting things. And now the fourth ability, very time copy-ish. If you die during the fourth, you'll rewind. You'll also be refunded all energy, health, ammo lost while using the fourth. Accumulated damage gets dealt as an AoE at the end. So basically, you activate it, you run forward, you cast abilities, blah, 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 blah. You deactivate the ability and you rewind back to your starting point, receiving everything you used back again.
Yeah, so it kind of takes a snapshot of how you are when you press that button, and then you return to that snapshot.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and as I said, you can use this if you have the fourth ability active and you die, you don't actually die; you get reset.
Indeed. So, that's her abilities.
That's her abilities. For the most part, I think Protea is going to be a good frame.
I think she'll be good. For the most part. Not amazing.
I beg to differ. I think she's going to be broken AF.
Because of the fourth?
Because of the fourth. It's basically re-looking at old Wukong again. You activate the ability, you run through, cast, shoot, backflip, whatever. You reset back to the beginning, you have everything back up again. And there's nothing to stop you from instantly reactivating it straight away again.
Yeah, because if you had enough energy to do it in the first place, then you'll have enough energy when you return.
Yeah. So what I found, what if one of the big things I found is if you've got a fourth ability that has a base cost of 100, which, you know, most fourth abilities have a base cost of 100, if you put enough efficiency and enough duration into it, you can really lower it down. So I'm pretty sure the base you could actually drop that ability down to is 25 energy for a cast. 25 energy for a cast is virtually nothing, especially if you've got Prime Flow equipped. You'll have a large pool of energy, and honestly, 25 energy. Cast your third ability, you get yourself energy spilling out. Throw on an equilibrium. There's the HP converted to energy, the energy converted to HP.
She can give herself too much energy too easily.
She can. She can give herself way too much energy, way too much health.
Equilibrium would be absolutely necessary for her.
Definitely. Like, I like the way Protea looks. I like the way they've got her ability set up. But one thing I think is absolutely necessary and is missing from the current build is that they need to give her fourth ability a cooldown.
I think her fourth needs to come at the cost of all of her energy. So when you actually return, you return with no energy.
Yeah.
Or at the cost of enough energy to just allow you to do her third again. So you can't instantly start it back up. Or it needs a cooldown. It needs some way to control it so that you can't have it constantly on.
Yeah, because it's way too broken. Like, we don't know the exact numbers yet, but just looking at what the ability can do, it's too much. It can do way too much for what it is. You can cheat death. You can cheat ammo usage. You can cheat energy usage. This ability, it will basically break Protea and make her completely overpowered.
Mm. Yeah, you have convinced me. Yeah, okay, if you're running low on health and you crack your fourth, it's not really going to save you, because if you die, you only go back to where your health was before you cast it. So you'll still only have low health, but still, her third ability can fix that quick smart. But it drops the things pretty
slow. And her first ability with the grenades, increased shield recharge.
And overshield,
yeah.
That's overkill. And if it does allow you to give that to another person, putting her alongside Hildren will be amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think we need to know a little bit more about her because, yeah, you're right, she could absolutely be overpowered.
Yep. I am looking forward to having her in the game. She does look great. Her kit looks awesome. It looks fun. But that fourth ability, I'm having flashbacks back to old Wukong.
Mm. Yeah, unless they put something in there to control that.
Yeah.
I agree. Because otherwise, she's actually, if that protective grenade can be shared with other people, she's actually pretty good support, as well as CC, And
she's a damage, fantastic she's support. She's a
good all-rounder. You could almost call her a paladin.
Yeah. Don't start.
It's too late. I did it.
Don't start.
Throw that in. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. If they don't do something about that fourth, OP. OP.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We haven't even been given her yet, and I'm already finding ways to break her.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what they have planned. So
we don't know. But no. We'll have to wait and see, but it's looking pretty much that she's going to be broken.
This is a strong possibility.
Very, very strong. Yeah.
Mm. All right. Anything else about young Protea?
Her secondary weapon that she gets has a really cool reload where she throws the empty magazine on the floor.
Can't complain about that.
So Protea knows how to litter.
Mm-hmm. She certainly does. She doesn't give a shit about the environment.
Nope.
Zero fucks given. Alrighty. Next big, massive thing that they talked about and showed off. Nightwave Season 3, as we discussed it, is... Disgusted?
Disgusted? Yes, disgusted.
Freaking Alec Greg. As we discussed, is starting very soon, in just over a week's time. They did acknowledge that the last intermission went way too long. To our count, 27 weeks. With one more week, it'll be 28. So, they do want to make sure that the next intermission isn't as long. However, Season 3 will be really different to the other ones. They showed it off. There is interaction. And now we understand how that interaction works.
Oh, yeah.
But first, they showed off the store. There was a lot of the usual stuff. There were creds, which are going to be called crystal creds this time. Former, umbral former at the end. Kuva. A few specialized mods and a few other things that are pretty standard. It looks like a few skins for weapons as well. Plus, there were a bunch of operator cosmetics, which is interesting. 3 or 4 pieces of an operator cosmetic. Some new special mods. Some really cool shoulder armor that I'm very much looking forward to putting on my Nova.
Hell yes.
Because on that sexy Nova, the new skin, it will look amazing. It looked really good on Mag Prime.
Yeah.
God, that looked good. And so good. A new landing craft, Lucas.
I know! New landing craft. So cool.
And even though we don't use them, I'll be interested to see what the module is that comes with them.
Ooh. Yes. Mm. Didn't even think of that. That's so cool.
And that landing craft actually looked pretty cool, I've got to admit.
It does.
From the tiny little picture.
And funny enough, it's called the Night Wave.
It is, because it's supposed to be in honor of our friend Nora Knight.
Yes, yes.
So, interesting. Very interesting. So, they've added Railjack and Lich Acts to Nightwave. Hit us up with your feelings on that. I don't think adding Railjack. I don't think adding Railjack Acts is such a big problem. The one they showed off said, do 3 Railjack missions. I think that's actually fair.
Yeah,
that's not a massive problem. And anyone can do it, remember. As soon as you have your Arcwing, at the very least, you can join other people in Railjack. So even though it does take time to get your own ship, you're not going to be locked out of doing this act. Keep that in mind. I think having to do liches, though, if it's an elite act, yes, because it is going to take time. It depends on how much, what they actually require of you. It, just kill one lichling. Okay, fair enough. Not a big deal.
Easy done.
But yeah, I'll wait and see.
Yeah. Actually, one of the new ones that they showed off I'm interested in doing is finish a capture mission in 90 seconds or less.
Oh, wow. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be very fun. Yeah, I like that.
Yes. So, they're adding more challenges.
Yeah. I absolutely need that that ship. I'm just thinking about it now.
I need that shoulder armor.
And the shoulder armor. So, yeah, this is one it's I have to
so
do.
So nice.
I think they've done really well with the rewards on this one because people are definitely going to want to get all 30 ranks.
Yeah, and those glass cosmetics for the operator face.
Hell yeah, they look great.
Be still my beating heart.
All right. The next one was a big surprise. A big, big surprise. You may know, or you may not know, there are Conclave mods that only work in Conclave. You may also know that there are Conclave-only augment mods that augment abilities. Well...
And weapons.
And D has made the decision to change up these augments a little bit so that they also work in PvE. And they're adding those changed augments or changed Conclave mods to the store of Nightwave. That's another fantastic change. And I really applaud them for that because that's a really good addition.
Hell yeah. There's a whole heap of new mods to actually flick through and see how they've changed them to actually fit into PvE. So that's awesome. Well done, DE. Kudos.
The one they showed off was an Atlas augment, which changes Atlas into a Rumbler. Being able to run around as a Rumbler with extra freaking armor and smashing stuff, sign me up. I may not use it too much, but we'll see.
I think that will be a reason for me to actually use Atlas.
Leave poor Punchy Boy alone. I like him. I think I just like him because he punches stuff and he's made of rock.
Yeah,
it's
but
fair.
Yeah. This will make him better.
It will. It will, absolutely. Lastly, they've added a new, I don't know what to call it. I'm just going to call it a mission counter. It looks like there is 5 sections to it. So I'm guessing there's going to be 5 episodes of Nightwave Season 3. And
As
there always is, yeah. Each of them will come, of course, with each episode. You'll click on it and it'll take you to the Nora Knight story, as it always has. However, you will then, at the end of the story told by the lovely Nora Knight, you will then be put into the scene, much like the Lavarian, and you will be able to walk around searching for clues. So, the story of the Glassmaker is that... So, a little bit of history. If you know anything about the Orokin used to have a group of elite members that they called the Executors. And the Executors, of which Ballas was one of, they were kind of like judge and jury. And they used to put people to death using things that, using what you've probably heard of called the Jade Light, which just used to disintegrate people. And now we know they also used a different technique, which was to turn people to glass. Now that was lost with the Orokin, but apparently someone has discovered how to do this again. And that's what Nightwave Series 3 is about. So you will be taken to a crime scene where someone has been turned to glass and you've got to search that area to find clues so that you can eventually track down the culprit at the end. And that's really cool. I like that.
It's really freaking cool. So they basically turned it into a mystery look and click game, which is really... point and click game, yeah. Really, it's really, really freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love this idea. I freaking love this idea. I hope we see more of this in Nightwave moving forward, because I think adding this kind of interactivity to it is going to really make people want to participate and move forward with it. So it's really, really freaking cool. There is also mention of stuff to do with Cephalons in the Glassmaker as well.
Yeah, they touched on it. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. But it was mentioned, most definitely.
It was.
Now, you mentioned point-and-click adventures. I grew up on those bad boys. I list Space Quest as probably one of my favorite games of all time, the entire series, but probably mostly Space Quest 3 and 4, but still, the entire series is brilliant. Bring it frickin' on. Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Love it, love it. It's awesome. Looking forward to it. So that's something to look forward to and plan. Oh, and they did also mention that at the end of it, there will be a special secret surprise reward that they're not telling us what it is yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm excited. Yep.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Many, many likes. Many likes indeed. But we'll have to wait for that. And while we wait for that, why don't we talk about Deadlock Protocol?
Let's.
Okay, so there are some arty reliefs that you can unlock and display in your orbiter. Very cool and related to the history of the corpus. But where do you get these little arty things from? Well, that is tied into what Deadlock Protocol is, and it's intense.
It is.
Very intense. Oh, yes. So Protea will also have a quest... but that will also tell the origins of the corpus. So Protea is the first Warframe since Harrow I believe, to actually receive a quest line.
Yeah, I don't think there's been anyone since Harrow.
Oh, Revenant. Revenant.
Oh, no, Revenant did. Yeah, and Gaara.
Yeah. Yeah, Revenant was after Gaara, though.
Yeah, I know, but since Harrow, there's been Revenant and Gaara.
Yeah, but still, Revenant was, he was the last one, and definitely. that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Jeez. So, yeah, it's been quite a while since we've received a questline for a Warframe. So Protea will receive one. That is awesome. I'm hyped about that. That's cool. Of course, the Corpus ship tile set is getting its massive rework and fancy changes to its look. It looks super crazy and amazing. Lots of new Corpus symbolism. It includes some enemy upgrades and some security upgrades. So it's really freaking cool. Some enemies will drop greed tokens, which can be used at the Golden Hand statues to unlock a mini-timed challenge of varying difficulty, and these are referred to as Purgatory. It seems to be a place where Corpus failed science experiments are locked away, so that's freaking awesome. I'm excited. They showed off a little bit of that, and wow.
So, let's stop for a second.
Stop for a second. Okay, stopping.
They showed off very little of it.
Very, very little.
They all exclaimed quite loudly when they saw what enemy was in there, as if to go, whoa, didn't expect that one to be. And although it looked like, what are those big lanky guys that frickin'...
The
skating guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It looked like them, forgot what they're called, sorry, but it looked different as well. And
it moved like a freaking demon.
Yeah, it moved like a demon. It was fast. And Reb turned around and cut the stream.
Yep.
That's what I found really interesting. And then that's when Steve said, this is something about where Corpus failed science experiments end up. So I think that's going to be really cool. And I hope they keep adding more purgatories with just different bosses that they throw in there and make it harder. I hope it just doesn't stay as three for all time with the same three enemies. You go in there, kill them once, and then never go back in, depending on the rewards, but still.
Well, I feel like these purgatory things will be completely random, because they did also mention that, Solarians can actually be found locked up in chains and whatnot in purgatory, and you can free them to receive some Solarian standing as well.
Did they say that was in purgatory? I thought they were saying
that's in purgatory.
Okay, cool.
So that's freaking awesome, and you know, of course, you'll need your greed tokens to access this. So certain enemies will drop greed tokens. You pick them up, and you jump over to one of the big giant golden hands, and you literally tear a hole in space time and jump into purgatory. And the landscape itself looks insane. I'm freaking excited. It has a very much a Diablo 3 kind of feel, you know, when the demons would open up the gateways
and rifts or the rifts.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, you jump in, you have like a small timed duration to kill as many enemies as possible to get as big of a reward as possible. That's pretty much what the purgatory looks like. That's freaking insane.
I'm sold on it, as long as they don't, what's the word? Neglect. Hey!
Neglect.
As long as they don't neglect it.
So... yeah, it's awesome. Coins can be used in other ways as well, so there will be some kind of store somewhere, and that is where we tie into the Orbiter displays. Mm. They will be purchasable with your
coins.
Greed tokens. Yeah, greed token, coins, those things. So lots of cool stuff there. And the next part really, really took us for a loop. A boss refresh.
Indeed.
Of all things, a boss rework. And that's the Jackal. The Jackal is getting a rework with a whole new room, awesome artwork. The boss fight is very similar to as it currently is, but it's got some different mechanics to it. New added phases where you will actually go to different arenas, and hero moments. So, wow.
Yeah, it looks good.
Now, one thing I actually want to note about this is that the Jackal is the boss fight for Venus,
mm-hmm.
presently. Now, I say presently for a specific reason. Venus is not a high level place for missions. Mm. The enemies in the example they showed us today, the enemies varied from levels 40 to 56, from what I could see.
Mm-hmm.
The Jackal himself was level 50. That is extremely high-end leveling for that particular part of the map. You don't see level 40s to 50s until you're in around the end of the void, like Mott and whatnot, like that.
Mm. Yep.
So that I'm interested to see whether or not they're going to MR lock the Jackal, or what's happening with that, because that's a significant change.
Or maybe they just set it to that for the demo.
Maybe. Maybe.
Who knows?
We don't know. I'd like if it's higher level, because it means more difficult.
Exactly.
But we'll see. We'll see. Anything else? And the market will get a refresh as well, with new filters to hide owned,
mastered,
and non-blueprint items. Quality addition. Nicely.
Yeah. Bloody oath. Bloody oath. That's the one thing that's pissed me off about the market since I started playing Warframe. So probably a little bit late for me, but good for new players.
Yeah.
Alrighty. We did talk about this, the valence transfer for Railjack components, which allows players... one thing that we didn't cover off in those previous notes was it actually allows you to pick which perk you want. So if you've got two avionics...
Yes.
And one of them has whatever, reduced time for... I don't know. If they've got two separate ones, you can choose which one you want to keep. There you go.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of any examples off the top of my head. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. So, not avionics, but the ship parts themselves, like the weapons, the cannons, the engines. Yeah. So, that is awesome, being able to select which perks you want. And as I said before, depending on what rankage of your valancing, you'll get a... boost as well, up to 10%, which is pretty nice. Next up, Ash Deluxe still looks amazing, and I agree with Greg's notes here. Still looks like something from Mortal Kombat, and I also agree with Greg's notes here. Must have.
Yes, I need it in my life. I absolutely need it in my life. It's beautiful.
It is. It is beautiful.
Mm. Mm. Better be coming with fucking, I don't know, Deadlock Protocol.
Yeah. Hopefully.
We shall see. Okay, they very quickly showed off the Broken Frame, which is, of course, the community Warframe. It's composed English? Of broken English, composed of broken Warframe parts and stitched together by weird white tendrils, maybe from Lua, like Nick said.
Yeah, so we discussed that a little bit last week, but yes.
It looks weird and gross. Don't forget to submit your ability suggestions in the forums. It's still going until, I think, sometime this week, the 29th, I think it is. So get out there, do it, do it.
Yes, yes. Now, I believe there was actually a couple people in our Discord that have typed up some ideas for abilities. Yes, and
Implosive was one of them.
Yeah, I got to say, there are some definitely some interesting ideas out there, and I look forward to seeing just what crazy abilities this Broken Frame receives.
I want him to have an exalted arm or an exalted leg, so he can just rip it off and use it as an exalted weapon, like a club.
Yeah. I kind of imagine like a giant... a giant two-handed sword that's kind of like cracked and has like flowing energy through it to make all the pieces kind of just remain in place when I think broken, but yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, next. You're so next.
Next up, Scarlet Spear will likely be rerun again, but more bugs still need to be fixed. Hopefully the test cluster will help in the future. Now, I don't think this means it will rerun in a future year to come. I believe this means it will rerun again this year.
During the new war, yeah.
During the new war. As I did say previously, that there's no point running it after the war in a previous statement. So, yeah.
You're a previous statement. All right.
Am I a previous statement? You're a previous statement.
I'm just reminding everyone that you're a previous statement. I would fight you, but I'm too far away. Rawr! Put your Molly Dukas up. Anyway, sorry. That went weird places. Next up, Pets 2.0. Stasis will be removed as promised a year ago. So it does need to be removed. It's still annoying, but just add the freaking pets to the rest of the freaking companions. Frick.
Yeah, I just want to see all my pets running around.
That'd be awesome.
It would be. I don't think I got enough beach balls for them all.
Yeah. I'd say you can probably only have one active at a time, though.
Sad.
But I hope you can have them all. That would be sick.
Actually, speaking of...
sick things?
Speaking of sick things and things roaming around your ship, if you were unlucky and didn't see it this week on PC, Barrett Katia actually brought his own... Katia variant of the
domestic cleaning drone.
Yeah, domestic cleaner. So chances are, if you're listening to this, it's gone, and you'll have to wait until next time it shows up, which would probably be TennoCon. But it's a thing that exists now, and if that's your kind of thing, then yeah.
It exists.
It exists. I actually picked it up. It was pretty expensive, 700 ducats.
700?
And... 700 ducats and 500,000 credits. Yeah. So it's pricey.
Damn.
It's pricey, but it's fancy looking and it's pretty, so why not?
You know what else is fancy looking and pretty, Lucas?
Me?
I wasn't going to say that. Jeez. Yes, I was. All right, next.
Yay. Addressed some of the recent issues encountered and what the focus will be on this year. So slow down and focus on the fundamentals. This is great. We love it. There'll be fewer risks and they add quests and rework the existing content. So this is all stuff to be happy about.
Yeah, so they're acknowledging that they hear people, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Without directly acknowledging things that are fairly negative, they're acknowledging that they hear people. And it was interesting because I was looking through all the comments. Lots of people were dropping Rahatalius's name, if that's how you say it. Other people were talking about A Gay Guy Plays. And I actually quite respect Rebecca's response to that, which is, we don't do public executions, so we're not here to vilify anyone or to point anyone out for doing something. So, you know, stop asking us to comment on certain people or individuals. And I think that's great because they shouldn't have to. And partners have the right to say what they like, really. It is their own opinion.
Yeah.
Whether or not you agree with it, whether or not it's the right thing to do, different story. But, you know, they do have that right. And DE will deal with it if they feel they need to.
Yeah.
So, enough said on that, I think.
Definitely.
Although, speaking of creators, they do have a new creator program coming with a focus on better supporting other types of creators, and they've specifically mentioned fan artists who probably don't get a fair gig as creators. So, you know, all those Twitch streamers and things out there, they tend to get all sorts of things, but fan artists, even though they might have thousands and thousands of followers, don't really get the support they need, so they're adding them into the creator program, which is fantastic. And let me just remind them, podcasters as well.
Podcast.
Although, we got to remember, we are a fan site partner.
Yeah.
But that is a little bit different. We do want to be the first podcast partner that's a full, fantastic, awesome, kick-ass partner.
Yeah.
Please. Please. Hear our please.
Please, sir.
Hear our cries.
May we have some more?
More potatoes. All right. That was the dev stream. Like we said... This is going to be a long one. It's already an hour.
We're already an hour into the recording. It's great.
So, yes, that's why we decided not to do beginner advanced topics, because it was a massive one this week. Lots of really good stuff.
Lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah. So, what's it called? Nightwave starts next week, probably the week after or the week after that. Deadlock Protocol is coming. So, lots of stuff to be excited for as we head on into June. So,
yeah.
Stressless. People.
I'm excited.
Relax.
I'm excited. Are you excited?
I am excited. If you could see me now, you'd understand.
Yep. I feel exhausted just thinking about how excited I am.
awkward.
Nightwave.
You need a room?
Nightwave, Protea, Deadlock Protocol. An important thing for the Deadlock Protocol, Corpus Gunblade.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Corpus Gunblade, yes.
I'm most excited about Purgatory. Oh, I'm happy to say
Purgatory freaking looks awesome.
Just it on. I want to get in there and shoot stuff.
Yep. I want to jump in there and fight dangerous fucking failed experiments. It's so freaking awesome.
Exactly. And I want to be Detective Cephalon Greg.
Yes. Yes.
So there's lots of cool stuff to look forward to. Bring it on. All right. Where are we, Lucas?
Community call out.
Community call out. I had my eyes closed. Could you tell?
I had my eyes closed too.
Oh, we both had our eyes closed.
Go put oomph into it, soul and passion.
All right. I didn't put any oomph into it though. Jeez. Reviews update. There were none last week, made me cry a little bit on the inside. But we did have two the week before, so I guess that makes up for it. Leaves us still at 117. But like I said last week, we did get a good one on Castbox, which was a surprise from a good friend of ours.
Yay.
Do you want to read it out?
I shall indeed. Castbox, Scum Death Bastardo. I love this podcast. I'm coming back into Warframe, but I've never stopped listening to these guys. They are so informative and concise with their information. Love it. Keep it up, guys. 5 stars from Scumdeath.
Indeed. Now, Scumdeath has been with us freaking hell since the start of us being a podcast, I reckon.
Long, long time ago. I can still remember.
Nice. He was one of our first Switch players, so he's been around for a long time. Just a pleasant guy. And he's in a band. His band is called War Crab. Check out his album. It's called Damned in Endless Night, and it's really, really good if you like sludgy death metal, which I do. So check it out. It is a really good album. All right. Next, Lucas, where are we?
Dr. Cephalon. Dr. Cephalon.
Dr. Cephalon.
Yeah.
All right. We went places with that one.
I don't even know what we're doing anymore.
We don't know what we're doing. And that's what makes it beautiful, Lucas. It's like jazz. Even though I don't like jazz, I can feel it. It's in my blood.
You feel it. You feel it in your soul.
You do. So I chose two questions from Podcast Question Time, because Podcast Question Time was actually pretty busy this week in our Discord. And these two questions are pretty easy or straightforward to answer. I don't think they'll take us too long, which is why I chose two. So first up, we've got one from F12, who is also another longtime Discordian. And F12 has said, Dear Dr. Cephalon, what would be the best team to have for Scarlet Spear? Ground or space or both? Hopefully this doesn't get buried by the other comments, which comments often do in Podcast Question Time.
Oh, definitely.
Because people answer them and then answer them and answer and answer them and then they get buried. So I deliberately went back and chose this for you, F12.
Yay.
Answer. Anything.
Anything.
Seriously, F12. Yes, F12, seriously. Scarlet Spear isn't that hard, but if you want to be really super efficient, you want something that's going to lock down the area, prevent damage to the, what are they called? The spikes?
Uplinks.
Uplinks. Prevent damage to the uplinks, and you want to do as much damage as possible. So I saw Mothop suggested Mesa for the damage. Definitely.
Yes. Yes, definitely agree with that.
People will always suggest Limbo to protect the offlinks. Definitely.
Yeah.
Frost protects the offlinks. Definitely. Gaara, definitely.
If you're running Limbo, it's also really good to run Excalumbra alongside him, so you can nullify the sentience. The sentience immunity to stasis.
Yeah. Definitely.
So this is actually one thing I'm really happy with Scarlet Spear, is I realized today that this particular event brings forth a need for crowd control.
Yeah, it does. On both ground and earth.
Yeah. Yeah, both ground and earth. Now, one thing I've actually been running the last couple of days when I get a chance to do any Scarlet Spear is actually an effigy-focused chroma, because effigy has the ability to not only deal massive damage to enemies, but also when it roars, it has the kind of like a blinding effect, much similar to Excalibur's. So an effigy build chroma works as a good crowd control source as well. So you got that, you got Nyx, Nidus, Titania. Crowd control is a really, really strong one for this particular event.
Yep.
Damage, of course, Mesa. We'll love a bit of Mesa. Yeah.
I think a really good all-rounder is Wisp.
Definitely.
Wisp is good for CC because you can pop down her electrifying reservoirs.
Yep.
Which will slow down the enemy and, you know, stop them from moving because they'll be electrocuted. Plus, you can put down your health dealies. The health won't heal the uplinks, but it will heal you. Yeah, so there's plenty you can do with her. Anyone else? I mean, really, anyone can do it, but you really just want to think about what role you want to play, whether it's just dealing a shitload of damage or if you want to add some CC or protect the uplinks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, actually, running today with some of the Discord guys, in our squad, we had me as Chroma, we had Danny as Vorben. Vorben works really nicely for Vorben's crowd control as well.
Yep.
Who else? Raven, I think, was running Wisp, and Trigon was running Mesa. So that was actually a really, really good build setup that we had for our little runs that we did today. Plenty of crowd control, plenty of damage output. Yeah, we just completely smashed through through our missions on Earth and space using that same setup. It was great.
Last week, we did mention, Dylan mentioned he tried using Hildren and it didn't work for him. I said Hildren was probably a bad choice. I mean, the reality is Hildren's not really a bad choice, but he was talking about his PC account, which is fairly low level, so he doesn't have a very powerful Hildren. If you've got a more powerful Hildren, she'd be okay, but her abilities are really better suited to Corpus than they are. They work on Grineer, but not as effectively as they do on the Corpus. So that's the reason I said that she's not effective, but she still would have worked. She just wouldn't have been great.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of frames that definitely aren't great, but there's plenty of choices that are really going to be effective for you. Nova, Nyx, like you said. So
yeah.
Hopefully that's an answer. It's a long-winded anything, but... Yeah, just think about what you want to do. You want CC, you want high damage, and you want to protect the uplinks, but you also need to think about your weapons, and you want something that's going to do a shitload of damage.
Brahma.
At distance as well. Brahma's a great choice. All right, so that was Dr. Cephalon number one. Next one. This one comes from a relatively newcomer to our Discord. This is Chicken Tsunami, who plays on PS4. Dear Dr. Cephalon. Okay, I'm listening to episode 37, and Greg, you just got through a whole thing about how you can get everything in the game for free. But things like the mods from the Acolytes, you have to wait for them to show up, or get them off another player playing. And to me, that's a pain in the ass. So do you think this should stay the same, or do you think D should change this, and if so, how? Personally, I think it should stay the same.
I think so as well. I think it should stay the same. One thing that, you know, we don't have enough of in the game is specific items that can only be acquired a certain way. And having the Acolytes mods tied to anything else kind of breaks that. And I know would actually make a lot of people upset. If they were to remove any more mods away from the Acolytes, then there's a good chance that
they'll reduce their impact.
They'll reduce the impact, but it's more of a
alienate.
Yeah, it's kind of an alienate. It's focusing more on new players than old players. You know, like veterans and advanced players like having something that they worked to get, something that they earned, and during a timeline. Now, these items do come back. They do come back. Having them available at all given times takes that away from the advanced players and you know, kind of really breaks down the value of having these kinds of mods. So I think it's important to have a few items that have that grasp in the game.
From my perspective, putting the veterans to the side, it also reduces the impact of the mods themselves. Personally, I think having a whole bunch of mods locked behind the Acolytes means that every time the Acolytes come out, it's a reason for the community to get excited. From new players to advanced players. The advanced players don't necessarily need the mods, but they can get them to sell them. The newer players, I remember the first two or three times that the Acolytes came to PS4, I was pumped that they came, and I smashed them out until I got all of the mods that I wanted. Now, the other thing I would suggest is, if you're building a specific build that you want to build towards, then absolutely the Acolyte mods are necessary. But it's not a game breaker if you don't have those mods. So the only reason you're building towards them is because you're building towards a meta, and there's nothing wrong with that. But those mods aren't absolutely necessary. Some of them kind of are when it comes to building really strong melee builds, but I don't know. I think they're just something that is good to get in the way that you get them in the game. I think it's an achievement. It feels good. And I like having things that are locked, a kind of time gated like that. If they were absolutely necessary basic mods, yes, it would piss me off. But I'd argue that they're not, they are kind of necessary for higher game builds.
Depends which mods you're talking about, because ones like Blood Rush and whatnot are available in the game regardless of the Acolytes. It's just they're made easier to obtain because of the Acolytes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I understand what you're saying. It can be a pain in the ass if you are a new player and you watch a video with Lazar Gaming or something like that, and you're like, okay, he's got an awesome build. I want to make that. And then you find out that you have to go get some of those mods from the Acolytes. And the last time the Acolytes were seen was 6 months ago or whenever it was. That can be frustrating. I understand that. And having to go buy them from another player is also frustrating. I would suggest, unless you really, really want them, the Acolytes will come back.
Yeah.
I like it. I absolutely like the fact that the Acolytes are the only way to get those mods.
Yeah. It's good. It adds more flavor to the game.
Yeah. And I to be honest, I kind of wish there were more ways, more things like that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So I'm guessing it's probably not the answer you wanted to hear from us, but it's the truth. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they kind of are other mods that are tied to things like that. You look at the Ghouls and Plague Star.
Yep.
That's the only way to get the Hunter Set mods.
Hunter Set.
Through those two things. So there are other things in the game like that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think more of that kind of flavor stuff kind of would work nicely.
Yeah. I agree.
Elusiveness.
All right. So, elusive, yes. That brings us to the end, finally, of episode 93. It was a big chunky one. We had some really good chats. I feel good about this episode.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So thank you very much. Last week was the shitty episode because Greg was sick. So this one more than made up for it. Even though last week was a pretty good episode still, I think.
Every episode's a good episode.
We had Dylan last week.
We had Dylan. No, last week was the community episode. Of course it was good.
Yeah. Last week was freaking awesome. Every week is awesome. And that's just the way it is. All right. So if you want to get in contact with us for any reason, head on over to cephalonsquared.com. There is a link to our Discord, link to our Facebook, all those cool things. Otherwise, you can just fill out a form and send us an email. If you want to send us an email directly, it's cephalonsquared@gmail.com. Say hello. We don't hurt, mostly. Sometimes we do. If you want to support us, you can head on over to cephalonsquared.com/support. But, of course, the best way in this troubling time is simply to like, enjoy our stuff, join our community. While we're all stuck at home, join a community that is very, very chatty and very supportive of each other. So come on over to our Discord or our Facebook group. We've got to get that pumping still. Yeah, lovely people all round. So let's thank some of those lovely people, Lucas.
Let's do that.
Particularly our patron folk.
Yay.
Thanks, Rathok.
Thank you. Where was Joe?
Thank you, Jellybean1799.
Thank you, Sula.
Thanks, Lord Freezon.
Thank you, Danathan.
Thanks, KnightRider8503.
Thank you, CoyotePX.
Thanks, Jackson31.
Thank you, Kintail.
Thanks, Implosive_MKV.
Thank you, Dylan Braun.
And thank you, Solarian. Yes, what would we do without you wonderful patrons? And we are due a special patron cast that only the patrons get access to.
Ooh, so yes.
We better record that one soon.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. We'll be on that. We'll be on that this week, I think.
Indubitably.
Sign up for it, patrons. Anyway, my name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules, as far and as wide as possible. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri, and I am Silverlight all over the interwebs. SilverLght. Our community is awesome. As always, they are fantastic. And I want to do a last little shout-out. I forgot about this. Gonna do it now. Shout out quickly to KnightRider8503. He's just started doing some streaming. Go check him out. He does stuff like the new Mountain Blade 2. Really cool stuff. Really cool guy. Go and have a look at his stuff. Go and have a chat with him. Awesome guy.
Yeah. Knight Rider is also a Discordian who has been around since the very start. He's come and gone over the years, but just always been a solid supporter of us. So thank you, Knight Rider, and definitely go support him on Twitch.
Twitch
is where he streams.
Twitch.
Cool. Alrighty, and thanks as always to Jan at @disco_box on Twitter for the intro and outro, and his voice always makes me weak at the knees. If he makes you weak at the knees, make sure you tell him on Twitter @disco_box because it makes me laugh. Thank you for listening to episode 93. We'll be back again next week with episode 94. Hopefully you're excited about it as I am. We've been Cephalon Squared. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com, where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.